Well, brethren, tonight we're going to have the opportunity, to cover one of my favorite subjects. I'm going to have the opportunity to talk about God's work. I told Mr. Armstrong this afternoon that with the material I've got, that we might just get finished before sermon tomorrow afternoon. So, hang on. Well, brethren, we've got an important and exciting work. And I wonder sometimes if we realize the size and the scope and the magnitude of God's work today. You know, it's incredible, really, to think that all of us right now have a part to play in this end time work. Are we aware of its global impact? Yes, God's church today having a global impact of its international prominence. The impact God's message is having on world leaders, business executives, government officials. Do we realize, or do you see yourself as part of a small, insignificant church sect or organization? Is that how you look at it? We get comfortable with the way we are, we settle back, and we become very much involved with the day-to-day routines. And I wonder sometimes if we realize just what we're involved in. And when you think about what we're doing, it's incredible, brethren. Or, on the other hand, are you caught up in the dynamic power and the excitement and the growth of God's church today in this end time? Brethren, we are big. I mean, really big. We're not insignificant. We're having an incredible impact on doing God's work around this world. We are no longer looked upon as a small church sect. Through God's blessings, we have rocketed into international prominence. We are an incredible, complex, and highly sophisticated organization. Mr. Armstrong told us on many occasions, this is the greatest work in human history. Think about that. We think about Chrysler Corporation. This last weekend, we had the head of Chrysler Corporation as a Grand Marshal. And the whole United States, and indeed the world, has taken notice of what he's accomplished. And yet, here we are, brethren, involved in the greatest work on the face of the earth in this end time. With an annual income of $120 million, annual income of $120 million. That's a rather large figure. But when you put it in perspective, when you look at the fact that that is net, that is our spending money as a corporation, that we're looking at a situation where this corporation is over a $1 billion corporation. Over a $1 billion corporation. I deal with a lot. I have the opportunity of dealing with a lot of outside people, businesses, corporate leaders. And they don't look at us as some small little organization that's insignificant. They realize, because they're used to return on investment in corporate business, and they realize that when we talk about how our financing is done through God's tithes and offerings, they realize very quickly what we're talking about. Donnelly, the printer that we deal with here in the United States, is over a $1 billion corporation. They look at us as an equal. They don't look down upon us as a small customer. They look at us as a very significant corporation making an impact on this world worldwide. It's very interesting. When you look at our organization, it's not only is it big, brethren, in terms of its corporate structure, but every component part of it is a business in itself when you think about it. Have you ever stopped to realize the complexities of God's work? It's very complex, brethren. Each and every one of the component parts is a business in itself. Now, I'd like to take a little opportunity to take you on a tour through that. Take a look at our real commission. And this gospel shall be preached unto all the world. We know that very well. But here's one of the component parts. Ambassador College. The college in itself, with two campuses, winning national awards for beauty, the most beautiful campus in the United States, in competition against, quote, the world's known colleges. Now think about that. Fact is, we won the award so many times in the beginning, they made a ruling that we could only win it every other year. So it gives you an idea, brethren, of the impact we're making. I think we'd have had the award from every year from that time onwards if it hadn't been for that. But here we are with two campuses, one in Big Sandy, here in Pasadena as well. Our graduates, brethren, do you realize that our graduates graduating from God's college earn on an average more income than graduates from Stanford University, Harvard, Southern Cal, some of your other major universities in the United States? These are graduates from God's college. The college is a business, brethren. It's not small. It's not insignificant. It's very large. What about our television studio that booms the broadcast around the world by satellite transmission? Brethren, it's a business, a very complex business. I was up there this morning working with them most of the day preparing for this night's Bible study, and I'll tell you, it's awesome what they have. It's a business, brethren. It's all by itself. How about mail processing? Have you thought about that? Many of you are involved in mail processing. You're involved in a watch line. It's a fulfillment house. Fulfillment houses take in the subscriptions that come in for other major magazines. And they're scattered all over the United States, down in Mexico, Ireland, different parts of the world. Yet we have one of the most sophisticated, modern, up-to-date fulfillment houses in the world today, with an error rate record that is unparalleled in industry. Think about that, brethren. Now, why is that? Because God's Spirit is working in those people. We have a greater concern and interest in what we're doing. How about our financial area? This is all part of your mail processing. We have a very sophisticated financial staff who's constantly looking into the IRS regulations, legal ramifications of running a complex corporation of this nature, dealing with bankers all over the United States and indeed the world, dealing with auditors, keeping all our records in order around the world in a unified audit statement, a data processing center handling millions of names. How about our publishing operation? Again, another business, a huge business. Editorial staff, publishing staff, production, dealing with printers all over the world. And of course, the Ambassador Foundation, which is now doing an incredible work. Each one of these, brethren, the concert series itself, bringing people and great famous artists in here, bringing people from the community and many people from around the world to see these great artists, having their first impression of God's campus, of God's auditorium, meeting many of God's people, the witness that they're getting from the association. You realize that many of these people meet God's church people for the first time right here on campus. And they go away with that first impression. And many times that first impression is what counts. We have an awesome, awesome responsibility, brethren. An awesome responsibility. Mr. Armstrong going to world leaders, the head of the Chinese government, the ruler over one quarter of the world's population, billion people or more in China. Mr. Armstrong is meeting the King of Thailand. He's going out to world leaders. This is all part of a business. And all these are tied together. And of course, as Mr. Armstrong is the head under Jesus Christ of the Worldwide Church of God, he is a recognized leader of the church, an ambassador for world peace. When you tie all these together, brethren, you're looking at a building. You're looking at a very complex, sophisticated organization. Now, when you look at it, in Ephesians 2:21, it says, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple in the eternal. Ephesians 4:16 further, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted, by which every joint supplies according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, makes increase of the body into the edifying of itself in love. And isn't that what Mr. Armstrong's been talking about, that we've got a team that we've been able to put together, and God has called certain individuals here at headquarters and placed them as He sees fit in His work. And that we have harmonious teamwork now at headquarters. And brethren, that's the only way we can accomplish this great job. If we're all working together in harmony and unity, and we're all a team. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 6, and there are diversities of operations. As we said here, we've got everything from television to college, but it all fits together, brethren. The whole purpose of the college is to furnish people for God's work, or serving in God's church somewhere in this world. It all fits together, brethren, even though there are diversities of operations. But it is the same God which works all in all, who puts it all together, who makes it work. When Otto von Hochberg was here recently and toured the facility, we all know he is. We've heard it in other Bible studies. He's a man who could be the engineer. He is the architect. Probably the European unity, 10 nations to come, a very prominent man, a well-read man, a man who's a publisher in his own right, who's written over 35 books himself, well-versed in the publishing field, a very active politician all over Europe. When he came here, I had the opportunity to spend quite a bit of time with him when he toured the publishing operation. And at the conclusion of the tour, we were standing there talking, and he said, "You know, Mr. Wright," he said, "I've heard an awful lot about Herbert Armstrong. I've heard an awful lot about the Church of God." He said, "But until I came here and saw it with my own eyes," he said, "I never would have really understood how complex and how big your organization really is." Now here's a man who is a world leader, a man who's going to have a very prominent role in structuring the whole European situation that's coming down line here in the very near future. That organization that Mr. Armstrong's been preaching about for many, many years now. And yet he recognized. Another thing that was very interesting, after he left, and we wrote an article about him in The Plain Truth, he wrote back several months later, and in it he stated that he was amazed and how many of his associates in Europe had read the article about him and had commented to him. So, brethren, we are reaching this world. We are having an incredible impact on these people. And we have bolted into incredible prominence once again in television in the United States. And now on Italian and also French dubbing. This gives you an illustration of the coverage that we're now receiving. It wasn't just 4 years ago, brethren, that we virtually had eliminated our television coverage. When Mr. Armstrong came back to Pasadena, physically took control of the physical aspect of God's church, in the last 3 or 4 years, we've done a remarkable job in the television coverage. Once again, brethren, just a reminder of how big we really are in this area. Well, this last weekend, we had an opportunity to be reminded one more time, of the complexities of the organization. When Mr. Armstrong decided to make a very important and crucial change on the February issue of The Plain Truth, about 6:15 last Friday night, I had taken about 4 or 5 bites of homemade lasagna. Delicious. Absolutely incredible. And it's kind of heavy. And I got a call from Mr. Armstrong. And he said, "Mr. Wright, I want you to stop the February issue of The Plain Truth." All of a sudden, everything inside kind of lumped up. And now we had hardcore, lasagna. One great big solid rock. I said, "Yes, sir." It wasn't that easy, brethren. Because all through that night, and the next day, and the next night, there were people all over this world, literally, involved. Not only church people, not only church management, but outside organizations that were doing everything in their power to catch that plain truth before it went out the door somewhere. Now, the whole printing companies in some parts of the world, we literally shut down. The plain truth is so big, brethren, that we consume entire operations, whole companies. When the plain truth rolls in the door, they stop everything and the plain truth goes on presses. That's how big we are. In England alone, we're printing 1.3 million magazines now. We take over the whole company for a period of time. Now, when a phone call comes through about 4 o'clock in the morning to the head of that printing company, and we say, we have just stopped the plain truth run. Well, when he got out of the emergency ward of the hospital, he finally came to. We told him it was all right. We had everything in control. But I tell you, it was quite a shock to a lot of people. And I wonder sometimes if we realize the massive arrangements that had to be made. And it brought to our attention very quickly just how big we are. Because, brethren, we were dealing with regional directors all over this world, literally. We were making contact with all of them, their printing companies. And, brethren, we're talking about a magazine printed in 7 languages. 7 languages. You know, there's very few companies that can boast of having multiple language publications. And yet God's church has one of the most sophisticated publications in the world today. Printed in 7 languages, in 7 locations in the world, 16 printing editions, 53 and now 58 binding editions, which means that even in the English language, we've got 58 versions. Now, they all say the same thing, but there's different legal ramifications, there's different inserts. And when you look at all the handling instructions, in many cases, each magazine might have over 100 different handling instructions alone, going to 203 countries and territories worldwide, reaching 6 continents. I know, Mr. Armstrong, I'll be quick to say, 203? What about the other 2, Laos and Cambodia? Well, brethren, we've got that covered, too. Because we're taking volunteers tonight to parachute a couple of PT newsstand carriers behind the lines. You'll meet me backstage. We'll take your name down. Now, actually, brethren, believe it or not, we've already been there with the plain truth before the communist government took over. We've already covered those nations. And Mr. Armstrong just told us once again this afternoon that we have already been to this world with the gospel message. Think about it. We've already been to the world with a gospel message. Well, brethren, we're printing over 7.5 million magazines, each and every issue, just in the plain truth alone. This weekend, we found out how really big we are. I mean big, big. Not small, but big. On top of that, each magazine has cards. It has envelopes. It has overseas wrappers, special inserts, coordinating with post offices all over this world. I mean, this was all going on from about 6 o'clock Friday night till 5 and 6 o'clock Saturday morning. I mean, we had people, regional directors, up out of bed. They were calling other people. At Donnelly's in Glasgow, Kentucky, we had people driving through the night at 3 and 4 o'clock in the morning, catching postal vans that were pulling out of depots in Cincinnati, Ohio, stopping the plain truth going into the mail. All through this weekend, brethren, we had minor and small and major miracles taking place. You could see God behind it because there was no other way possible to pull off what we did in that short of time if God hadn't been behind it, been behind his servant and his apostle in the decision to start with. And it was done. And we caught every single magazine, stopping presses in England, stopping presses in Canada, stopping presses in Glasgow, Kentucky. Donnelly people traveling out at 4 o'clock in the morning in snowstorms, catching magazines. Freight lines that had to be caught and stopped with the newsstand PT that was already at them. Calls to Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Zimbabwe. All the different printing locations we deal with. All that had to be coordinated. Trucking lines, airlines, newsstand outlets around the world that had to be contacted. Gift shops, airports, train stations, government buildings, libraries, hotels, supermarkets. All waiting for one magazine, The Plain Truth, God's magazine. Timing, delivery, schedules, over $2 million in issue worldwide spent on one edition of The Plain Truth magazine. Over 20 million readers, brethren, waiting on that publication. You know, we're reaching government officials, President Reagan's staff, even President Reagan reads part of the magazine and sees it. Going to government officials that I mentioned around the world earlier. Prominent businessmen. I think we've all heard of Bunker Hunt, the man who captured a silver market here several years ago. He is an avid reader of the Plain Truth magazine. Not only that, he's a renewed reader of the Plain Truth magazine. Wouldn't it be nice if he started tithing? Well, we can pray about it. You know, all this, brethren, brings to mind the fact that Mr. Armstrong, we have said, reached the world. And yet with the millions of magazines, you know, we have a small flock of people that have been called by God at this time to do the job. Mr. Armstrong has said that the big harvest, the fruit that we will see of the job we're doing now, the labor, the bearing of that labor will come later on in the tribulation. When things start to happen, people are going to remember back on what they've read, what they've seen, of a voice that was crying out in the wilderness. Because believe me, they're hearing it. It's out there. It's out there all over this world right now. And when you're involved in something of this nature, and you see what it takes just in one part of this publication, this last weekend, it was unbelievable. I've worked for other major corporations, and I'll tell you, not by a long shot. As we say in the vernacular, it's a piece of cake out there compared to our organization. The greatest organization on the face of the earth today. And I wonder, brethren, if we're aware of that. Are we awake to this incredible work of God's church? Well, I really hope so. Mr. DeCox and I were talking the other night about an old TV program that was called This Is Your Life. Remember that one many years ago? Some of the younger people may not. I'm kind of young even though I've got some gray hair here. Well, brethren, this church and the work of it is our life. It's our life. We should be wrapped up in it, totally consumed by it, because it's the only important thing on the face of the earth today. The only real major work being done in the world today. It's long-lasting, brethren. It's the only thing that's going to carry over into the world tomorrow. Everything else will go by the board. Now, I, for one, hope I have a part in that. And I know all you all do as well. But we got to wake up. We got to become very much aware of just how big we are and the impact we are having in this world today. We can't get caught up in the world and its pretties and its activities and its diversions. We got to keep our mind focused on the job at hand. And it's a big job. It's a team effort as well. It can't be done just by one person or two people. The Song of Solomon tells us again how so much it is a team effort. All the brethren behind him as he does the work that Jesus Christ has given him to do. What's interesting in comparing this work, brethren, because it reminds me of a very big similarity between some things that happened before. Because there was another apostle in the early church that had very similar background and training to the present day apostle. And that's the apostle Paul. Now the apostle Paul had a work to do. And he went out and traveled the Roman roads. Now those roads were built not to spread the gospel, brethren. They were built to move the Roman armies quickly to different parts of the world. And yet those roads were used by God to let Paul send messengers to the various churches. And he himself was able to travel to preach the gospel to the world at that time. Mr. Armstrong used early modern transportation in the early 30s, and it's progressed in today's modern technology where we have a G3, one of the most sophisticated private aircraft in the world today. How one apostle, as we have been told many times, can be able to reach this whole world in a matter of hours, being in one location at one time and over in another thousands of miles away hours later. Every time I travel on a jet aircraft and fly from here to London or someplace, I'm amazed that within hours you can be doing business in Pasadena and within hours you can be over there meeting with the regional director in England. And how Mr. Armstrong can be here in Pasadena and within a short period of time be meeting with world leaders in China, Japan, Thailand, England, or other locations. The airplane invented for one purpose, and yet God using it for another. Other technology. The O'Neill style printing press. The way the work started in the beginning. Very small. And yet progressing to modern day technology. Printing all sorts of trash on the outside. Yet God's using it to print his gospel message to this world. The comparison between the Apostle Paul is very interesting. Because he was a man of incredible education, and many times he was called upon to justify himself before world leaders and government officials. And when you look at his particular message here in Acts 22, verse 3, Paul says here, I am a man which am a Jew. Here's him a qualification. Born in Tarsus, which was a very prominent city of that time, one of the most educated levels, very prominent educational center of the world at that time. He was brought up in a city at the feet of Gamaliel, one of the great teachers of that time. Paul was also a Roman citizen by birth, which gave him privileges that other people did not have in the Roman world. It gave him a freedom to move around in the Roman world, and God was able to use that later on to preach the gospel message. He goes on to say, for I am also an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. Look at the training that Paul had before God knocked him down and called him. But when Paul perceived that one part were Sadducees and the other Pharisees, he cried out to the council, men and brethren, I am a Pharisee. The learned scholars of the time, the group of men who were, if you would have it, the religious lawyers of that time, the studiers of the law. So Paul was a very highly educated man who was prepared by God in a certain way. And when you look at the similarities between Paul and God's end-time apostle, well, it's very interesting when you compare that both of them came from very strong religious backgrounds. Mr. Armstrong came from a strong religious Quaker background. Paul was a free citizen, a Roman citizen. Mr. Armstrong was born in the freest country in the world, a free citizen of the United States. Paul was a Benjamite, part of Judah. Mr. Armstrong traces his lineage all the way back through the tribe of Judah, back to the seat in the house of David. Paul had a trade. He was a tent maker. Mr. Armstrong was a master of advertising, trained in every way. Paul grew up in a city of education. Mr. Armstrong grew up in a country of education. Trained leaders of that time that Paul was taught by. Mr. Armstrong sat at the seat and worked with leaders in this world. Well, Mr. Armstrong just didn't work with John Deere Company or Ford Motor Company. No, Mr. Armstrong worked with John Deere. He worked with Henry Ford. He worked at a time when the men who created these great, quote, organizations, he worked with them. He knew them personally. As God was preparing him in that early time, Paul was a religious lawyer, being a Pharisee. And of course, Mr. Armstrong's father always told him he was going to be a Philadelphia lawyer. As he said many times, and here he is, the head of the Philadelphia area of God's church. And he is a religious lawyer, understanding God's law like no other on the face of the earth today. Paul persecuted the church. Mr. Armstrong persecuted his wife for a while. Could understand what this silly religion she was getting involved in. What do you mean the Sabbath? Don't you know it's Sunday? Brethren, look at the similarities. It's incredible when you think about it. Mr. Armstrong goes all the way back to the story he told us in 1908, 1909, when he was working in his uncle's print shop. Started out there carrying, in those days they had the hot metal type, all these little letters all put down together and in big trays. And he said he had it all stacked up, and he was walking down one of the aisles and he accidentally bumped, and all this material just scattered all over the floor. So Mr. Armstrong goes back. It was interesting when we were touring the Donnelly plant during the printing of the anniversary issue with Mr. Armstrong. One of the men started to explain a little bit about the printing press, and Mr. Armstrong kind of looked at him and smiled, and he said, very respectfully, "Sonny, I was looking at printing presses way before you were born, 1908 to be exact." That goes back quite a long ways, brethren. Mr. Armstrong was uniquely prepared for the job he has today, having been brought up in advertising, designing many of the great ads of his day, came up at a time of great copywriters. Because in those days, art wasn't very much aware at that time. It wasn't a big thing. The way you sold advertisement was through good copy. And it was an era of good copywriters. And Mr. Armstrong was trained at that time with good copywriters around him and competing against them at that time. And yet here, 1915, he's writing articles for the Merchant Trade Journal in Des Moines, Iowa. Being trained at an early age. Here's one of his early ads. "You were suspicious." You notice the style of it. This goes back years and years ago, brethren, long before God called him. And yet look at the style that he's using here. The broad, you know, captivating headlines. Heavy copy. And yet creating that suspicion and that interest of bringing people in. These are some of Mr. Armstrong's early ads before he came into God's church. Look at all those headlines. "You were suspicious." Creating suspense, interest, getting people into it, capturing their attention. And yet, brethren, he's doing the same thing today. How God has used that in his Voice Cries Out series that he ran into Wall Street journals in the United States. By the way, one of the ads, the series was so successful when President Reagan found out they had stopped, he asked the question to one of his aides, "Why did it stop? They were doing a great thing for this country." Now, does anybody pay attention to what Mr. Armstrong and God's church does? When the President of the United States of America asks that kind of a question, we must be having some kind of an impact. Here's some of the other ads. Look at that. "What's wrong with business and industry?" Provocative question. I mean, this is going, the Wall Street Journal goes to the top businessmen and leaders of this country. And of course, using the modern technology, the transition that goes on in his earlier days when he started the Plain Truth, just a small mimeograph sheet. When we were walking through Donnelly's, there was a couple of very emotional, removing times that we had privilege to witness. There we were looking at a printing press that was running at 20 miles an hour, printing millions of copies of the Plain Truth. And Mr. Armstrong could relate back to the early days here when he and his wife were running these off by hand, stapling them together, bundling them up in their arms and walking across the street and dumping them into the post office. And now, brethren, we've moved on from the old small press days to the small transition of the Plain Truth magazine through various stages, gradually moving from a mimeograph to better paper, black and white, the transition on into color, as we moved on through the stages. And then, of course, becoming more and more sophisticated with the design, still creating, is there a way of escape? Look at the title there. To draw people's attention into it. Still using the same style, brethren, yet using modern technology. Look at the modern color we have in some of these later versions, now printed in 7 languages in 7 locations around the world. 58 versions I mentioned earlier. Not only the Plain Truth, brethren, but 2 other major magazines. The Good News, coming off of a black and white, now moving to 4 color, now produced in 4 other language editions. The Incredible Human Potential, Mr. Armstrong's books that have been translated in other languages, and of course the myriad of other booklets we published by literally the tens of thousands, the hundreds of thousands, and in some cases the millions that have gone out around this world in multiple languages. Started out small, brethren, but it's getting bigger all the time when you think about it. It's interesting, this is one of the old-timey first paper-making machines. Here's one of the modern ones now. You start with a whole tree at one end, and paper comes out the other end. It's unbelievable. Cost millions of dollars for one big machine like that, but a whole forest goes in one end and you get nice slick paper coming out the other end. How they do it, I have no idea. Don't ask me. But it's unbelievable. Do you realize that the first real modern printing paper machine was invented and made into first commercial production in 1803? Does that ring a bell with anybody? Just about the end of the time of the Gentiles. And it started the transition into modern technology, brethren, has led us up to today's sophistication. Where now we're using satellite transmission, not only for television, but now moving into satellite transmission of printed material that will drop down in international locations that will literally revolutionize the way we do the publishing work of God's church. It's the first of its kind. There is no other publishing company on the face of the earth doing this today. Now, Time Inc.'s been watching this for 2 years. They have tentatively placed an order for 400 units to go in their operations worldwide based on what happened with God's church. Is anybody watching us? Is anybody taking notice of what's happening in God's church? You bet they are. Here's the big Donnelly plant. It's the largest offset printing plant in the world. Donnelly's is the largest printer in the world. And that's only one company we deal with. You know, for each edition of the Plain Truth magazine worldwide, we use 13 acres of renewable forest. Now, I use renewable forest for the environmentalists because it's like growing cabbage. You know, because you plant cabbage and you eat cabbage and you plant more cabbage. Well, the trees that do pulp for paper is the same kind of thing. So we're not destroying our environment by it. Here's a shot taken at Donnelly. The paper stack for the Plain Truth edition for the United States went on as far as the eye could see virtually, covering whole banks of areas, great rolls of paper rolling out there, consuming 10 acres of forest. just one edition of the Plain Truth in the United States and three additional acres around the world. Paper going on the press, running at over 20 miles an hour. Millions of copies being produced, brethren. This is the anniversary issue that we saw with Mr. Armstrong, and of course Mr. Armstrong himself was there to view it and approve it himself. Very exciting moment in God's church, because it started very small, like a grain of mustard seed, brethren. And now we rocket into nationwide prominence, worldwide prominence. It's unbelievable what's happened, brethren. I hope we're taking notice of this, because it is an exciting time we live in, and how God has uniquely prepared ourselves. Because now we're in the 51st year. The 51st year, believe it or not. We move very rapidly. And of course we know in Matthew 24, verse 3, where it all began, when Christ was sitting there at the Mount of Olives, and his disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things shall be. And what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world?" And we follow on from there as Christ describes what's going to happen in the end time. Of all the famine and the trouble, and I mean, that's all you read about anymore, of all the different parts of the world that are in trouble with famine and disease and pestilence and wars. Brutality of unbelievable magnitude nowadays, right here in the United States. Child abuse, rape. Old ladies, not even sacred anymore, being raped, murdered, beaten. Unbelievable sickness. Diseased minds, brethren. And we have something we can do about it. We can tell them that there's a different world coming. We've got a unique message, brethren, a unique message. There is no other message like it. Matthew 24, 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come." Well, Mr. Armstrong said in a Bible study not too long back, this has already been done. And we're going to do more of it, brethren, before Christ returns. A lot more. Mark 13, verse 10. Continuing on, "And the gospel must first be published into all nations." Now, it is a publishing work in that sense. It's the written word. The electronic media brings the attention in response to the written word that goes out through the Plain Truth, the Good News, the Youth 84, the booklets, the correspondence courses, brethren. And God called a publishing man. You know, he could have called maybe a certain kind of businessman. Trained him up in incredible finance. But he didn't. God called an advertising man, a publishing man, a man who knew how to contact top people, who had dealt with them even as a young man, and feels very comfortable today as he goes about doing this work. Well, brethren, God has blessed his church in an incredible way over the last 3 or 4 years. It has astounded, I mean literally astounded, the greats of this world, quote. I have a letter that came to me from a gentleman who is the chairman of the board of R.R. Donnelly. As I said, it's over a $1 billion corporation, the largest printer on the face of the earth today. I want to read one of his sentences here in the last part of this letter. He says, "I must say, I am absolutely in awe of your success with the Plain Truth." Now, this is a man who has dealt with Time Inc., Newsweek, National Geographic. You know, he's dealt with other magazines, but he stands in awe of what has happened with the Plain Truth. In U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, England, Europe. What does it say in Revelation? Revelation 3, verse 7, "And to the angel of the church of Philadelphia write, These things say he that is holy, and he that is true, he that has the key of David, He that opens and no man shuts, and shuts and no man opens. Verse 8, I know your works. I know what you're doing now. God's sitting on his throne. He's looking down. He's seeing the activity of his church. Mr. Armstrong says, we'll grow as we please God. Told us that in a meeting yesterday afternoon. That if we're pleasing God, then the church is going to grow, brethren. We're going to get the gospel message out around this world. Even bigger than ever. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For you have a little strength. You know, we're a small group. You know, we're a very small organization in numbers, and yet look what we're doing. You know, we did a little study recently, just in one little small department, even within publishing, we have 3 people in circulation. Time Inc. has 28 people just for newsstands, and over 50 for their circulation department. Then take that on up into all the different other departments around campus. And these other corporations hire thousands of people. And yet how much we are accomplishing through God's intervention in our lives. So he that is true, going down, and no man can shut it, for thou hast a little strength and hast kept my word and hast not denied my name. And that's the key, brethren, of the success of God's church. Only God could do it. Brethren, this is not a work of man. Mr. Armstrong has told us that he hasn't done it. He doesn't take credit for what's been done in God's church. But Jesus Christ, the head of the church, has done it through Mr. Armstrong. The credit goes to God, but he has blessed his servant because Mr. Armstrong has been faithful in doing his part. And brethren, we have to do our part in supporting him in doing this great work as well. You see here the success that Mr. Armstrong had in his recent trip to China. And it just reminds us one more time that God's apostle is being treated like a head of state. Now you can't buy your way into that kind of a relationship. You can't bribe somebody. No money will do that. Mr. Armstrong's a nice person, but that's not going to get him in to see the head of China. God's opened that door. He's moved his apostle in through that door to make these contacts, to witness to this Gentile nation. You won't find many plain truths in China, but you will find God's apostle there witnessing through those leaders. It's interesting when you look at the work. You know, God's apostle has been going out to the Gentile nations prominently. China, Japan, down in the Middle East, various parts of Asia, Egypt, contacts down there, Thailand. And oh yes, he's met some of the Israelite nation leaders like Mrs. Thatcher. But basically, the plain truth in electronic media has gone out to the Israelite nation spreading the gospel. It's interesting how God has done that in the commissions of Paul and his commission and the commissions of God's end-time apostle are very similar. Mr. Armstrong's commission is to take the gospel to the whole world we live in today. How's it done? Zechariah 4, verse 6. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Eternal unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, nothing by the great energy and power that we exude ourselves, or the great amount of money that we have to buy our way in. What does God say? But by my Spirit, says the Eternal of Hosts. And Mr. Armstrong gives credit to God and Jesus Christ as the head of the church as being the power and the motivating force behind this church, brethren. To open the doors and let us go through. You know, last Sabbath, Mr. Koch apparently did an announcement, got up, and he talked about the growth in the church in the United States. And do we have a ho-hum attitude, brethren, when we hear these statistics about what's happening in God's church? Or are we thrilled and motivated by it? Is there a surge of energy that goes through us and excites us about what's happening in God's work? Because over the last 5 years, brethren, we've added 80 new churches in the United States. 20,000 new members. 20,000 new members. And in 1984, we had 39% increase in telephone responses for new visits. And when you add in referrals and everything else, we'll be well up over 50% of new visit requests right here in the United States. And you can echo that on in Europe and England and Australia and New Zealand and Canada. The same impact around this globe. The message is going out, brethren. This afternoon, Mr. Armstrong gave me some figures that have been provided to him of what's happened just this last year, 1984. What your tithes and offerings have accomplished. Yes, brethren, your tithes and offerings. I remember some years ago having to meet with some of the bankers of United California Bank at that time, now First Interstate National, whatever they call themselves. And it was interesting that several of the men who were vice presidents of the organization at that time were Mormons. And some of the other men were asking me, well, Mr. Wright, how is your organization financed? So I told them, I said, we have a very secure financial base. Better than any other company on the face of the earth. We are financed by the tithes and offerings of God's church brethren. It's interesting, the Mormons understood immediately. They're tithe payers themselves. And you know, we never had any trouble getting loans at that time because they knew how secure it was. They knew about our brethren, and it's, Mr. Armstrong says, it takes that tithes and offerings, your participation, your involvement as part of the team backing him up. This last year in 1984, 73 million Plain Truth magazines were sent to homes and on the newsstands. 3.7 million Good News magazines. Almost 1.5 million copies of the Youth 84. More than 6 million booklets. 6 million booklets. I mentioned that to one of the Donnelly executives over the book division, and he almost had a heart attack. He said, when can I have some of that business? Quick! It's interesting. A total of 1.6 million lessons. Bible correspondence courses went out. You know, brethren, we're the number one magazine among international multi-language publications. The number one. Oh yeah, Reader's Digest is greater in circulation, and so is National Geographic. But when you look at multi-language editions printed simultaneously around the world, there's nobody else doing that, not even Reader's Digest. We had the executive vice president of manufacturing into our operation, and he couldn't believe what we were doing. He said, Mr. Wright, I'd like to come back and understand what you're doing so we might try to do it in Reader's Digest. This is God's church, brethren. No other organization on the face of the earth is accomplishing what we're doing. Not Time Inc., not Newsweek, not Chrysler, not any of them. I hope you're getting that focus tonight. Taking a look at just what you're involved in. What you're involved in, it's credible. By the end of 1984, there were 264 U.S. television stations airing the World Tomorrow program, which was a 31% increase over 1983. Worldwide, there were 414 television stations booming out the World Tomorrow broadcast. 414, brethren. Incredible. Millions were reached by Christ's true gospel for the first time. Millions were taught God's truth on a regular basis. You know, Mr. DeCotch, in one of his things, was talking about the growth in the church here. When you look down at some of the statistics, it's unbelievable. I mean, churches all over the United States. You know, here's one in Atlanta, Georgia. 58% growth. Bend, Oregon, 53%. Boston, Massachusetts, 91% growth in God's church, in one church area. Another one, Providence, Rhode Island, 65%. Fort Collins, Colorado, 82%. Houston, Texas, 46%. Long Beach, California, 48%. Long Island, New York. You know, not little tiny cities that nobody ever heard of. Long Island, New York. Last time I talked about it, it's still there, believe it or not. Big place. Lots of people. 91% increase. You add on 1984 figures to 1983, brethren. Staggering. Absolutely staggering. 1983, 59 million plain truths. Nearly 2 million good news. And on it goes. I hope we get excited about these. We don't sit back and rest on our laurels and say, oh, I'm comfortable, I'm cozy, I'm just going to kind of just carry on just like I'm doing. We got to get behind this work. It's moving at such a pace that we all need to grab a hold of that freight train and keep moving with it. It's taking off like a shot. Let's take a look at some more growth. This is a map of the United States here. It's what we call an area of dominant influence. It's basically made up for the television market to break it up into markets to explain the penetration a program is having, the success of it in different markets in the United States. Well, we've converted over for the plain truth. And just a few short years ago, in December of 1981, we had a circulation of just over 1.5 million magazines. With less than a 2% penetration, brethren, in the United States. As you notice here, most of the area is white, which means it's less than 1% of that area getting the Plain Truth magazine. Now, in 1981, Mr. Armstrong came back to Pasadena. And in 79, he started putting the church back on the track, addressing the doctrines, the church, the ministry, the brethren themselves. But in 1981, he came back to Pasadena and took firm hold of the physical part of God's church. And since that time, brethren, we have not looked back. We've had incredible growth. Here's what we look like today. We have blanketed the United States. But on the map here, many of these areas are running over 10 and 15% penetration. We have almost a 5 million circulation of the plain truth in the United States. Over a 5.69% penetration, almost 5.7%. I kid the ministers on refresher program who are in charge of the newsstand programs. We've only got a few areas in here still under 1%. One of them's out in the middle of Nebraska. My fellow Texans aren't doing a good job around Abilene. But there's an area up in the Great Lakes area. Now they keep telling me it's Lake Michigan. But that's no excuse. I keep telling them we've got to cover every part of the United States. The 50th anniversary of the Plain Truth magazine marked an incredible. How many magazines have reached that prominence? Been around 50 years. And more importantly, how many of them are free? Huh? Think about it. Free, brethren. A magazine of that quality. You know why it's so quality conscious? Because people don't throw it away. Nobody's going to throw away a magazine of that quality. They're going to take it home and read it. Put it on their coffee table. Referrals still is the number one way in which people come into God's church. Interesting, isn't it? We go back some years ago, 1968. You look at the growth in God's church, we were looking at just over a 1 million circulation in the United States. We moved up to a peak in 1976. That was close to 2.5 million. But in those days, brethren, we didn't do heavy renewals. Therefore, we were carrying an awful lot of dead wood on our circulation list. Not only that, if you look at what happened in the early days when people thought they knew best, they no longer had to follow God's apostle. They decided to put, quote, a charge on the plain truth. Now, it wasn't technically, if you would have it, a price, but in one sense it was. And of course, the circulation plummeted. It shocked our readership. They couldn't believe what happened. And of course, it knocked around at a small little circulation of almost 500,000, or a little over 1 million world in the United States for many years. But look what happened in 1981. The newsstand circulation and the subscription list took off, and we haven't looked back since. It's been growing at phenomenal rates. 1983, we added over 1.2 million subscribers to the Plain Truth list in the United States. Last year, we added, this year, 1984, I should say last year now, 1.5 million new subscribers to the Plain Truth magazine in 1 year. Is it no wonder that the chairman of Donnelly says he stands in awe of our growth? What other publication has done that? Worldwide, you look back in 1979 and where we were then, just a little over about 2 million magazines worldwide. Now we're looking at a circulation of close to 8 million, brethren. 7.5 million Plain Truth magazines going out around the world. Look at that growth. The Good News magazine, we talked about earlier, an incredible publication with God's spiritual knowledge going out to the world. Look what happened to it. Gradual growth through the years. But this last year, 1984, Mr. Armstrong at the end of the year decided to offer it to those subscribers of the Plain Truth that had been on the list and renewed over 2 times. We had an incredible response of 30%. We rocketed to over 600,000 new readers of the Good News magazine. Can you imagine what that's going to mean in 1985? When Mr. DeCotch heard that, he reported back that 95 ministers fainted, thinking about all the extra work they're going to have to do. But they all got up with big smiles, brethren, because they're dedicated to doing God's work and serving the brethren. The Youth 85, one of the finest youth publications in the world today. We're holding it back, brethren. If we were able to let go of this one, no telling where the circulation would go. We can't afford to even advertise it. And yet it keeps growing just from referrals. Look what happened. Mr. Armstrong mentioned it on television. Swoop, up it went. 15,000 one night. Mr. Neff turned even grayer. Where are we going to find the money? We were joking Mr. Armstrong last year about the fact that he was causing us no end of trouble with his television broadcast. You keep making me go over budget. Couldn't you make at least one lousy broadcast? We wouldn't have as many responses. That's what's happening, brethren. The television broadcast, the watch lines, your involvement in that, the telephone responses. No one anticipated what happened in 84. We set all kinds of records, continue to set records on television broadcasts every weekend. And of course, as the circulation of the broadcast goes out to more stations, and now the big cable networks are picking up the broadcast, you know, hang on to your chairs for 1985, but even with a growth year that we're kind of holding in check right now until we can catch up, it's going to grow in spite of us. God's got the momentum behind His church, and it's growing, brethren. One in every 18 households in the United States is receiving the Plain Truth magazine. One in 18 households. Take a look at your city block. Somebody in that block's getting the Plain Truth magazine. Where are they coming from? You know, 4 years ago, television wasn't even hardly mentioned on a source as a source of new subscribers. Then Mr. Armstrong comes along and starts making these powerful broadcasts, and look what's happened. We're at almost 500,000 new subscribers from television alone. The number of participation programs, that is newsstands, waiting rooms, cardholder programs, which the church members all over the world are involved in, brethren, and where the other sources come from. Then we have other things like bulletin cards and various other sources where other subscribers come from. 1.5 million new subscribers. That's just in the United States in 1984. This man here holds up that magazine and the watch lines ring off the hook. Thousands of phone calls of people responding, wanting the magazine and the literature. And many of you are involved in that, sacrificing your time to get behind God's work and God's apostle. Believe me, he appreciates it. Long since we've passed Time, Inc. and Newsweek worldwide. Yeah, new, Time, Inc. Big name, Time, Inc. The plain truth, brethren, is greater in circulation than Time, Inc. Newsweek. U.S. News and World Report we left in the dust long time ago. We are a major, prominent influence in the world today. BBC, all the news agencies, take the plain truth for their research libraries. I've met with the executives of Time, Inc. I've eaten lunch with them. I've walked through their facilities. The plain truth magazine is in their research center. They all kind of grin. They pick it up from the newsstand. They don't subscribe. They wouldn't want to do that. They all comment that we may not agree with your publication, but it sure has a different approach. Then when you look at it, as it reaches the newsstands and the other important areas, and realizing it's rivaling the Reader's Digest, National Geographic, those two being the largest circulating magazines in the world today, the plain truth's right in that category, brethren. You want to put it in the world terms. Now we know it's the number one magazine in the world, bar none, because of the job it's doing. It's the largest magazine distributed from a single source. You know that even though the Reader's Digest has a greater circulation, that the plain truth has more magazines on the newsstands than Reader's Digest? Do you know that? Are you aware of that? From a single source. Over 93 million copies distributed on newsstands since 1976, and that's just in the United States. Look at that center point. Magazines going out all over the country to different drop points. Over 425 depots, truck lines going all over the United States. Usually in the neighborhood of about 10 or 7 or 8, it varies from time to time, truck lines. Delivering newsstands to different drop points all over the United States. I mean, somebody's back doorstep, literally. You talk about a nightmare of trying to coordinate that. Well, this last weekend, we were calling everybody and his neighbor. Stopping newsstand magazines and whatever. I mean, it's a complex. Anybody ever tried to deal with truck drivers? Whew! Heavy stuff, let me tell you. You know how ideas come in from the field? This truck here was carrying lettuce from the San Joaquin Valley back east, and they were coming back empty. One of the church members mentioned it to us. It doesn't come back empty anymore. It comes back with Plain Truth magazines to the West Coast. Saves us tens and hundreds of thousands of dollars a year. How ideas come in from the field, brethren. How the team works together. Newsstands in 1 year stacked on top of each other. 5.5 times taller than Mount Everest, and that's tall. That's a bunch of magazines going out there as a gospel witness. We have over 10,000 brethren. 10,000 brethren involved in a newsstand program worldwide. Over a year ago, I was in New Zealand at the feast, and after I spoke, and a little lady came up to me, who happened to be about 83, she grabbed a hold of my arm, and she was all excited. She said, "Oh, Mr. Wright, Mr. Wright," she says, "I have my own newsstand outlet." And she was just bubbling over the fact that she was involved with God's work in a physical way. 83 years old. And we've got them from 9 to at least 83, and I don't know, maybe 99 for all I know. 10,000 brethren. Psalms 68, verse 11. Interesting scripture for our time. The Eternal gave the word. Great was the company of those that published it. And circulation and distribution of the magazine is part of the publishing effort. And we've got 10,000 brethren involved around the world, servicing 24,000 outlets carrying the Plain Truth magazine. That's big, brethren. That's not little. Our supermarket program. You know, for years we couldn't get into the supermarket program in the United States. We couldn't get into the major ones like Safeway, Kroger, Alpha Beta, Lucky's, Safeway, all these different kinds. We had tried. And then one day a man, Doc, knocks on the door. And he says, "Oh, Mr. Wright," he says, "we are really excited about your magazine. Would you allow us to distribute in the supermarkets?" You bet we would. Mr. Armstrong said this could be the greatest door that's ever opened to God's church. Over 2,500 stores in the United States alone, reaching a weekly audience of over 33 million people, brethren. Little interesting story to this. The gentleman who's the owner of this company is a Jew. His right-hand assistant is a Roman Catholic of the highest order. They've been wanting to see, quote, Dr. Armstrong for a long time. Just asking it, asking and asking. I said, okay. I talked to Mr. Dean. We set it up. We thought, oh, 10, 15 minutes in Mr. Armstrong's office would be sufficient. And we brought him up, and we took him into Mr. Armstrong's office, and we normally sit around his desk. But that day, he said, let's go over to the couch area. And we sat down. And brethren, he preached to them the strongest message I've ever heard in my life, and I'm a church member. It scared me right out of my socks. He told them how the Jews had crucified Christ and how the Roman Catholic Church was a beast. I looked at Aaron Dean and I said, oh no. I said, we just lost our whole supermarket operation. Ah, they ate it up. An hour and 45 minutes, we could hardly get him out of his office. Does he mince words? Not hardly, believe me. He scared me half to death. I just received a letter from Mr. Sheldon Hurst. He says here, after making very complimentary words about the organization, the church, the campus, and everything else, and the people he's met and worked with here, he says, my meeting with Dr. Armstrong was one of the most memorable that I have ever had. I bet it was. You know, brethren, we can't keep him away from this campus. He's brought the chairman of the board and the president of every major national supermarket company in the nation to this campus, to this very auditorium, to hear concerts and to walk around this campus. And as a result, he was able to witness to them that we weren't some weird sect. Look at the institution that God has built. Meet some of the people. Don't listen to the distractors and the dissidents. See with your own eyes. Meet the people behind this church. And they have. And we're in the supermarkets as a result of that. How about display items? Another incredible door that opened up. By the display items, reaching 68 million people per month in major airports. Here's one of them here. What next? Mr. Armstrong designed the title, the whole thing himself. He's only 92. About 40 years younger than I am. I'll tell you that right now. First time I saw one of those, brethren, I was coming down to World Trade Center, We had lunch with a lot of the Time Inc. executives up there, and I mentioned at the end of the meeting up there that I would like to see the lighted display cabinet, and I'd never seen it before. And of course, when you come into the World Trade Center, it's the two tallest buildings in the world, virtually. I think there's one in Chicago taller now. Before I went up the elevator, I suited up in a parachute. It's that high. But there's no cars outside. Everything is underground. Trains go in every direction you can imagine. And they come down these bank of escalators to the train floor, and they all go out. Well, just as I mentioned that, two men over, one of the vice presidents of Time says, "Oh, I know where that is. I get my plane tickets every month from that stand." So the whole group got up from the table and went with me. We came down this bank of escalators, and right out there in the center of the platform was one of those lighted display islands. And it was unbelievably impressive. And they all crowded around, and a little mumbling in the background, "Why can't we get one of these?" Well, first of all, they charge for their magazine. We like people to steal ours. Just don't throw it away. Eat it. Major airports all over this country, brethren. Boston, Dallas-Fort Worth, Miami, New York, Seattle, Washington National, and I can name many, many others. All the major airports in the United States carrying the plain truth and lighted display cabinets. Railroad commuter stations, Grand Central, World Trade Center, Penn Central, Chicago terminals, the Loop. Very prominent. Now spreading out around the world, entering other airports in New Zealand, Australia, and other locations in Europe. What an impact, brethren. We're in major hotels. Now, there's nothing wrong with Motel 6, but it's not exactly where the plain truth is. You'll notice here that we're in the Park Plaza in Boston, the Capitol Hilton, Hyatt Chicago, San Francisco, the Waldorf Astoria. Not your average Motel 6. It really isn't. Very prominent people see and pick up the Plain Truth magazine at these locations. Just a few of our different outlets and gift shops. We went to the single rack stand here in one outlet. 4,000 magazines went in 3 weeks. Bang. World Trade Center, we were moving almost 12,000 magazines a week. A week to the World Trade Center. Well, and I hope that gives you an idea of what's happening in God's work today. Mr. Armstrong said years ago that we could be greater than Reader's Digest. They have a circulation today of over 30 million worldwide. Recently, when I came back from Europe, I gave him a report on what the potential was for the plain truth in Europe. It's very sad, brethren, because there are people over there hungry for this knowledge. They aren't getting the message of God in Europe. In Europe alone, in English language alone, the English language alone in Europe, we can have a circulation of over 1 million magazines in a matter of weeks. And yet we cannot afford to go in there. When I gave him the report, he looked at me and he said, "Well, with 7.5 million, are we reaching our peak?" Now, he was testing me because I knew he knew the answer. No, we haven't even come close. Do you realize in the United States, in most capitals of the world, direct mail, it brings in 76% of all new subscribers to publications. All right? The majority of subscribers come in from direct mail. We're not even using it yet. In the United States alone, we could add millions of subscribers in a matter of weeks with direct mail. And we're not even using it yet. I don't know if God intends for us to be greater than Reader's Digest. We may not need to be. The message is so strong and reaching such prominence that maybe we don't need to be that big because of the powerful message that goes out from it and the number of readers that we have. But it is certainly possible to have a circulation greater than that and doing a bigger job than we already have. Yesterday, Mr. Armstrong said he believed that we grew as we pleased God and did His work. And I think that's been bore out many times. You know, brethren, this has always been a work of faith and always will be. Because, you know, we wouldn't have this auditorium or this campus if it hadn't been the faith of God's apostle. In Hebrews 11, verse 1, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. In the examples that were set down for us, in verse 7, by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark. There he was out in the middle of the desert, virtually. And for hundreds of years, or 100 years of war, whatever it was, he was building this ark, and people thought he was crazy. And yet he had the faith to believe in God, that God would deliver what he said he was going to do. Verse 13. You could go on and read about Moses and Abraham, the people of old who stepped out on faith and did God's work. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Just like we are today, brethren, there's no difference. God's people of that day, God's people of this day, we're not part of this world. We're part of a brand new world that's going to come in and go on in to the world of tomorrow when Jesus Christ returns to this earth. And we're part of that organization right now. And it's going to carry on over. And it's big now and it's going to get bigger. Verse 32. And what more shall I say? Paul says in here. And I say tonight, what more can I say? What many more? How many more examples can we give of the growth, the impact that God's church is having on this world? And he listed all sorts of things here about the time would fail me to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and David also and Samuel and of the prophets. And all the great acts that they did at that time, of the work that was involved at that time. And here we are in this time, the last era, virtually, of God's church, the Philadelphia era, totally involved in getting that gospel message out to this world. What an incredible opportunity. You know, God reached down and called us and is involving us in this work. He could have called somebody else, but he didn't. He called the great minds of this world, but he didn't. He called you, he called me, he called Herbert W. Armstrong to do this job. And we need to wake up to that job and realize the scope of it, the magnitude of it, and the bigness of it, and how vast it has become. And the impact it is having on this world today, brethren, it's unbelievable. Even the people in the world are astounded by it. They don't understand it, and yet they see it. They can't believe themselves what's happening. And we all have a part to play in that. I tell you, that's incredible. That's incredible how God works these things out. You know, works down through God's church, under Jesus Christ, down through His apostle. But much more to be done, brethren. In James 2, verse 17. Even so faith, Hebrews 11, even so faith, if it has not works, is dead, being alone. So it takes effort. It takes our part. Mr. Armstrong reminded us as we were up in his office one time, and we were talking about how these things God had done and everything else, and he said, well, just a minute. He said, I have to do something too, you know. I got to get out of bed in the morning. It's not as easy as it used to be. At 92 years old. You know, he has to do his part. The other night he had a meeting with some Israelis and some rabbis, that didn't show up at his house till 10 o'clock. They didn't leave till 2 o'clock in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning. Now, most of us in here would have been shattered by that time. Yet the next morning, he was in here making major decisions for God's work. That's his dedication. That's his part. Do we have that same kind of dedication? Are we involved to that degree? James 5, verse 16, brethren, has a lot to do with our part. Because it says the effectual, fervent prayer of a faithful person yields much. Well, Mr. Armstrong has said, brethren, something's breaking apart. My nerves. Back up, the mic fell off. Okay, we're back on stream. So, brethren, Mr. Armstrong says it's a team effort. We all have a part to play in this team under Jesus Christ as the head of God's church. Down from God to Jesus Christ, down to God's apostle, down to us. And through our tithes and our offerings and our fervent prayers. You want to read about a fervent prayer? Look in Luke, where Christ was in the garden, full knowing ahead of time what was going to happen to him. He inspired the writing of the Old Testament. He knew he was going to be beaten half to death. And when he went into the garden to pray, it says in there that it was like great beads of blood dripping down from him. That's how involved he was in his prayer, because he knew the ordeal he was going to have to go through. And he wanted to make sure that God was going to give him the strength not to fail. Because if he had failed, brethren, we wouldn't be here today. That's the kind of involvement that God's talking about. He sent his son here to set that example, to show us the way. Daniel prayed so hard an angel came and talked to him personally. I have to admit, I haven't had any angels knocking on my door lately. I got a lot more to do, myself personally. So brethren, we got a lot to do. It takes a team effort. It takes our involvement, our awareness of how big this work has become, and get behind it and involved in it and be excited about what you hear, about what's happening, what God is doing in this church today. Every time I see this thing, I get excited about it because I know what it means. Look at the news sometime. It's absolutely nerve-wracking to see what happens in this world. And we've got the message. The only one preaching the message today is Herbert W. Armstrong. And as he has said, that publication is the number one publication in the world. So keep that in mind, brethren, because that's what we're involved in. This is God's church. Your involvement in it. Involved in the number one work on the face of the earth today. Let's have a good Sabbath. We'll see you in church, as they say.